Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Reality radio for a really great future. We're talking real money.
Oh my gosh, it's that time again. I know you're excited. I know you've been waiting patiently for another exciting episode of Talking Real Money, the podcast. Hi, I'm Don. Over there is Tom. What? What are you shaking
when
your head about?
When you say it that way, it sounds like it's a put-on. It's facetious.
It was a little facetious.
On. Okay, just want to make sure I'm reading you correctly.
Do you think I'm serious? Wait a minute. How long have you known me?
A long time. Okay. And so when I hear you say that, I don't know how to respond. What I'm going to say is meaningless?
Who does the more serious radio guy intros? You or me?
I guess we'll have to give that to you, I suppose.
No, you do the more serious ones. You're
kind of more, I see. I'm more the news guy. I'm more the Ted Knight.
Yeah, thanks, Lou, for taking over for me.
No, but even Ted, we didn't take seriously. People tend to take you seriously.
No, shouldn't have been taken seriously.
And if people are taking me seriously, they just haven't been paying attention.
All right, I just want to make sure we're on the same page. So you're being kind of like silly, and we haven't even started. And today we're going to be talking about an obituary. I mean, this is serious kind of stuff. So I don't know why you're being silly on a day like today.
It's actually not an obituary. Maybe one person. There's probably one person on the planet who's going to be kind of sad.
He had grandchildren, so maybe.
Okay,
more
there's
than
like
one.
Eight. Eight or nine. Okay. A handful. Less than a small village worth of people. Less than a small community of people.
Others will be glad to see him gone.
A lot of people are just like, well, good, we can put this permanently behind us. We won't have Bernie Madoff to kick around anymore. Bernie passed away today at 82.
He's the father of they're calling it the greatest financial fraud in history. By the way, when they say it was $65 billion, they are wrong. It was about $18 billion that people actually put into the fraud. At the end, they thought they had $65 billion because he claimed he'd been investing it, making a lot of money and all these things. No, but the actual loss was around $18 billion, and they've collected. The trustees collected about $14 billion. I think they paid back almost 80% of the fraud. It's pretty good.
So the question
not that
is,
any of it's good.
The question is, who's really more serious about all of this, Tom or me? And you just learned it was Tom.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. Right. I have to be very specific about this, dang it. Does anybody really care about the particulars?
Yeah. Okay.
Does anybody care?
I guess we shouldn't.
You know, anyway. It was a lot of money. And we should change the name of, because it's a better name anyway. A Ponzi scheme is a dumb name. A Madoff scheme sounds so much better because not only does it memorialize the greatest Ponzi schemer of all time, but it's a much more appropriate name for it. A Madoff scheme. He made off with my money.
Indeed, you're right. The name is better. It's more recent. People are probably going to remember. And Charlie Ponzi. That was like 120 years. Who knows what that? Get him out of the
Madoff scheme. Like nomenclature. Like the term. Well, bye, Bernie. Wasn't nice knowing you.
But Bernie's
what
he did was it reduces confidence in the system. People think no, it does because people believe
there shouldn't be much confidence in the system.
Well, I was just going to bring that up that you and I have a difference of opinion here. I am generally a believer if people tell me things. Generally.
Yeah, well,
and that comes from my upbringing. There you go. And you are on the other side of that. You're like, probably not. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But what happens is when people do things like Bernie or when people rip off their own grandmother, then you start to think, well, wait a minute. Maybe this thing is a fraud. Maybe people really are stealing my money. I'm not getting a fair shake. And this recent story with poor old Beverly Schottenstein.
And it's stories like these, though, that make me a cynic. When you're getting ripped off by your own grandchildren who claim to be professional investing advice providers, I find the industry to be less than honest.
Forthcoming. I mean, so this is a story that it made a little bit of the national news, a little bit of inside baseball, but you may have read about old Beverly, because she's 94 years old. She came from a family of great wealth. They were in the furniture business, shopping centers, et cetera, built up this wealth. She actually sold her part out, got the cash, and then said, well, what should I do with the cash? Well, one thing she shouldn't have done is go to J.P. Morgan. That becomes readily apparent, and here's why.
Well, but wait a minute. Morgan, why did she go to J.P. Morgan?
Well, she went there because her grandsons were working there as
brokers. So wait a minute. So this is a story of family loyalty. It's love of family.
Or disloyalty. Yeah, all right. So anyway, the point was the money went there. She was invested in stuff that people should stay 1,000 miles from, auto-callable structured notes.
I don't even know what an auto-callable structured... Well, I mean, I know what a structured note is, and I know what auto-callable is, but why would anybody even put somebody in something like that?
Well, let me tell you why, because here at the end of the day, the commissions earned off her account just shy of $3.9 million. Now, she just won a $19 million arbitration award against J.P. Morgan and two former brokers. Both of her grandsons are now out of the business, I hope, for life. But the point is, this sort of thing does happen, not to this extent, hopefully, because for one thing, she had an awful lot of money. But it raises a couple of things for me. Number one, and we've said this before on the show, you should only ever hire, no reason to hire anybody else, 100% fee-only fiduciary, period.
All right,
because there's commissions were generated
in
these accounts.
Hold on, but I can pretty confidently state that these guys made it appear to Grandma that they were looking out for her best interest. They may not have come out and said the word fiduciary, but you know a lot of these people do. They actually say the word fiduciary. Oh, no, I'm a fiduciary. And they might have been at times.
360 unauthorized trades? Does that sound like a fiduciary?
No. I'm saying they might have claimed to be a fiduciary at times.
Okay.
Because they do. Think about the guy you listen to on the radio in Phoenix. I'm always looking out for everybody. I'm a fiduciary. And yet he's selling insurance products. He's not a fiduciary
I have no idea how he can even say that.
He's lying.
Okay, that's one. That's one. Number two, and this is more serious. Elder abuse is a serious issue in this country. Elder financial abuse is not to be laughed at. It's not to be made fun of because it's a serious issue. Now, how you fix that, because I don't know, especially in a case like this, which I truly call affinity fraud. I mean, she was taken by her own family members because, as you said, she probably said, I trust them. By the way, she doesn't use a computer. So they were sending her a lot of stuff by computer that she did not see. Maybe had she seen that, she would have said, wait a minute, why am I buying and selling these things? How much am I paying for all of this? But elder abuse and affinity fraud are serious issues that need to be paid attention to. Maybe in a situation like this, somebody else in the family should have been looking over the shoulder of these young men and saying, wait a minute, this isn't the right thing for Grandma, is it? Or is it? So while we're laughing about this, and I'm glad she won the $19 million arbitration award, which J.P. Morgan, of course, will appeal because they always do, this is something to be paid attention to very carefully. I'd say anytime your parents get their mid-70s and older, especially in a case like this where we're talking tens of millions of dollars, real money.
I'll tell you, if you were part of this family dynamic, the rest of the family would not even think to question these two men both of whom who worked for one of the most respected firms in America. They were professionals. It would be like questioning your grandson who was a doctor or a lawyer. You don't question the professionals. They know what they're doing. When, in fact, most of the financial professionals in America, pardon me for my little bit of a rant, but most of the financial professionals in America are not looking out for their clients' best interests. They're not. They can claim they are, but they're not. It is a terrible industry that is rife with this. This is not the exception. This kind of stuff, not at this level, is the norm. Selling people products to generate high commissions, that's the norm. Churning accounts, that's the norm. Lots of trades, that's what churning is. That is the norm. Non-disclosure of fees and commissions, that's the norm. You need to understand that despite your desire to give your grandkids or that woman at church or that person you're in Rotary with or whomever it might be the benefit of the doubt, you need to be far more vigilant and take these people to task. Don't take their word for it. Don't even trust. Verify.
And can I disabuse you of one more name you've used here? Professionals. In my day, a professional was a doctor or a lawyer because they went and got an advanced degree that does that.
Stockbrokers were too. Back in the day, stockbrokers were...
What degree did they get?
Didn't matter. They came out of college with some sort of a master's or something, and they went into the stockbreaking business, and they were up there in the pecking order of the...
No, I'm saying we should not call them professionals anymore. I think it's a poor term. It implies some sort of advanced learning in all this when most of them... went to college, sure, but then the advanced learning is they went to J.P. Morgan to learn how to sell. That's what they learned. They don't know anything more about markets than you do.
And
not,
I got to tell
you, Don, other people.
No. I mean, it's not just my conjecture that this is true. I know it for a fact because I personally lived it. I came from nothing, knowing nothing about money, and was told after 2 months of training that I was now a respected financial professional with the firm, the same firm that is now Morgan Stanley.
Enough said there. Oh. Okay. By the way, I'm looking forward to hearing how Thanksgiving goes.
I bet Thanksgiving is miserable.
Too easy.
Yeah.
Too easy.
Yeah. Those grandkids.
A couple real turkeys are going to show up for that
those
one.
Those grandkids
so
will not be there, and good riddance to them, because I think what they did to their grandmother is deplorable. Deplorable.
Shocking.
And horrible. And, if you have questions before you get into trouble, you can call us anytime at 855-935-TALK, 855-935-8255. We would really like it if you'd call us before you get into something, but people tend to call us after they've already gotten into some things, and then it's harder to figure out what to do at that point. Sometimes it means, taking your lumps. So give us a call before bad stuff happens or after, 855-935-TALK, or send your questions in at talkingrealmoney.com. Here's one of those called in questions, Tom.
Yes, I have two mutual funds that are in managed mutual funds. So there are several mutual funds within the mutual fund. Used to be with USAA, now it's with Schwab. Is this a good way to go, or should I be getting my own portfolio from the broker's list that you were talking about? I hope you understood that. The bottom line is I got a traditional and a Roth IRA, and they're both managed funds, which means I'm paying a fee, 1%, I think.
Well, it sounds to me like you had some sort of a managed account with USAA. USAA got out of the money management business. They sold off their mutual funds to Victory Capital, and they moved all of their managed accounts to Schwab. So what you probably have, I don't know this for a fact without seeing your statements and talking to you more, is an advisory account of some sort at Schwab, because you said you have multiple mutual funds in it and you're paying an extra fee. So you got a fee and then you got fees for the funds. The correct answer is dependent upon the quality of that portfolio, the cost of the funds, how well diversified they are, the quality of the advice. Without knowing those kinds of things, it's very difficult to give you any kind of an answer.
We find when we talk to many people, we give on our website three fund portfolios at Fidelity, at Schwab, and at Vanguard. Pretty basic. You can set up, you know, how risky you want it to be. They're pretty well diversified. But we still talk to so many of you who say, oh, it just feels confusing. I don't know what I'm doing. When do I rebalance this? If you're one of those people, then having an advisor, 100% fiduciary fee-only advisor who manages. And when you say manage, that makes me think like active management. But somebody who's rebalancing the account, sending you money, whatever it is, it's worth it at the right price, right?
I think that's the right price he's getting, but I really can't tell because he says managed, but he said he's paying a fee and he has mutual funds within the account. So it sounds like he could have a perfectly good advisory account at Schwab, or he could have something completely different.
Don't pay commissions. Never pay more than 1% management fee, and only. I guess this is the third time I said this in this program. Only work with a 100% fiduciary, because then they won't come to Thanksgiving and try to fleece you.
And the important part of that statement that Tom said isn't the word fiduciary. It's the 100% part. Because as we said, most advisors these days know that the buzzword is fiduciary. So they're all claiming to be fiduciaries. There's a well-known investment guy who's actually a CFP. He's actually a certified financial planner. He holds himself out on television to be a fiduciary, and yet the bulk of his financial business, his income, comes from the sale of indexed annuity products, which no one in the industry, except maybe him, would believe is a fiduciary-type product. As a matter of fact, they're exactly contrary to the fiduciary standard. We're going to wrap up this podcast. Thanks for being a part of it, and we do appreciate you being there. We hope you spread the word. Please tell everybody about it, and if you can, leave a review at Apple Podcasts, because those are terrific. They make us feel good. Leave a good review, though. The bad reviews just make us feel bad. until we read them on the show, and then we get like three good reviews. So sometimes the bad reviews do work out for us. So I guess thank you for those two. We'll talk to you again. We're here almost every day. 855-935-TALK is our phone number, or send your questions in at talkingrealmoney.com on the contact form. I'm Don. That's Tom, hanging out, talking real money.
Talking real money. We hope you realize that the information provided on Talking Real Money is for educational and hopefully enjoyable purposes only. Providing personalized financial planning or investing advice takes time, so please consult with a really good fee-only fiduciary investment, tax, or legal advisor. We know a good one. Investing must always involve risk. In other words, you can and probably will lose money at times. Also, as much as you want it, knowing can accurately and consistently predict the future. So past performance doesn't tell you a darn thing about what the future will bring. Unlike many other programs that say something similar, Talking Real Money is not trying to get you to buy or sell any financial products or securities. Instead, the program is provided as a public service by Vestry, a fee-only registered investment advisor. Thanks for listening, and please visit TalkingRealMoney.com for more information and disclosures. That should keep the lawyers happy.